Glory to your name, O God. We bless you in the house. Praise and honor and power and might are yours, Almighty God. I thank you for your word tonight, that we rightly divide this word, Father. We thank you that there is going to be a saturation of the word that is going to become the revelation, which will become a part of our being. There won't be any enemy that can tell us that it's not true, because we can say, I know that I know that I know the word of God is true. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. I know you did a praise and worship service, but we just needed to just celebrate a little bit. Do we not have the best musical department? I travel all over, and I'm telling you, this is one of the best that I've been fortunate now to enjoy the worship with them every time the church door is open. I'm here, and I'm sure every one of us is, because you're here tonight. Amen. I would like to just take a moment to do this, because I'm going to be gone for next few months, and I want to be able to say this. Pastor, I so appreciate you. You have such a fathering spirit, and the church is lacking the fathering and the mothering spirit, because a lot of us are at that place of our lives that we're fixing to pass mantles. And we should be in the process of doing that right now. And so I just appreciate our pastoral staff here. I'm telling you, there's not one person that Pastor has invited to this holy desk that I haven't learned from and been blessed from the revelation of the word coming forth. And I want to thank you, the church, because I've came in brand new. I've came in a brand new widow after 49 years of marriage. And you have opened up your arms and you've opened up your heart to me. And I cannot tell you what that means to a person, that all of a sudden they find themselves in a big empty field, not knowing what to do. After 49 years. So anytime you see a widow or a widower, please put your arms around them, because the thing that we need the most is a hug, because we don't have our mate there to just get that extra hug from, that extra strength when you come in. And my husband has a place in heaven that you can't imagine, because he lived with me, a preacher and an intercessor. Hallelujah. I used to come in and he'd say, you didn't give our house away tonight, did you? Because my motivational gift is giver. And so I'd come in, and because one time I gave a car away, and he goes, well, hallelujah, it's your car. I said, no, it was your truck. Hallelujah, praise God. But God blessed us. He did. He blessed us. You cannot outgive God. So anyway, to live with me was the grace and the mercy extended beyond measure. Hallelujah. I have brought some handouts tonight for one reason, where I'll stay on the subject. So if somebody will help me hand these out, well, I'll appreciate it. And we're going to be continuing on with what our pastor has laid before us this year, to be in that spirit of joy, to understand the manifestation of joy, of the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor, I was corrected when you were teaching, when you said it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. And when you look at it that way, it comes across a much deeper meaning, because all of those are attributes, or they're the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so that way, when we are manifesting one of the fruit of the Spirit, we are actually showing to the world and to ourselves who Holy Spirit is. I don't say the Holy Spirit, because he's Holy Spirit. That's who is here with us, and we all know that. But joy, when you begin to understand joy, it is a force. It is a weapon that you have been given. It is something that you can come in the opposite spirit to those things that tries to come against your joy, like sadness and depression and heaviness. Those are the things that try to come and to convince you that you are not full of the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is a strength beyond any strength that we can comprehend, except by the fruit of the Spirit manifested in joy. And so when the enemy begins to see someone that is truly full of joy, and I don't mean pretending, I mean someone that has caught a hold of a reason to be joyous. They know all of a sudden there is a reason for me to shout. There's a reason for me to dance. And that's the kind of joy that the enemy gets scared of. And we'll talk briefly in just a moment. We have five enemies, not just Satan. It's like what Brother Brown said. He's defeated. And the only way that he can come against us is odos. And that means to find a road into our mind. That's all he has power to do. He'll wait and he'll try everything he can to see if you're going to give him that permission. And that's where vain imaginations come from. And sometimes, if I'm allowed, I'd like to talk to you about six different types of vain imaginations. And those things hide from us. And a vain imagination that we have to constantly watch out for is our intellectual vein of imagination. And so when we allow that thing to be a part of us, the enemy is coming to take our joy by seeing if we're depending upon that more than we are the imagination that is sanctified according to the Word of God. Amen. Now, that wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to get to it because I might preach somewhere else. Okay? Hallelujah. So in your handouts, you're going to find where we're going to talk about the force of joy. But I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction into this. And the Hebrew word, which I get so impressed when I find these words, I can't pronounce them because I'm Cajun and English and I slaughter them. Amen. I don't dare speak around Jeremy, Rabbi, whatever I call him, pastor, but because they're so good at that, you know, because they speak Hebrew and everything. But the word is Sama, S-A-M-A. This is not in your notes. This is just a little prelude here. And the spiritual level of joy it refers to is to an extreme happiness. And what I mean by that, I don't care what kind of stuff you have or what kind of stuff you wish you had. That is not joy. That is happenstance. That is happy. And happy has nothing to do with joy, because once again, joy is a weapon. And when we get that in our mind, every time we have an occasion to be sad, let the Holy Spirit, I declare it in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is going to quicken your spirit, that you are not bound to or influenced by happenstance, but instead we are influenced by an extreme happiness that goes beyond a happiness for stuff. Somebody better say amen. Because stuff has got us in debt. Stuff has got us in a lot of things that we don't need to be in. And I want to proclaim over this church, Pastor, that we're going to become debt free. We're going to become debt free. I don't care if you're in your 20s. There's a way that God is going to begin to show you how to be debt free. I got to get back to my notes. Hallelujah. You just do this every now and then, Pastor, a point, okay? Now, it refers to extreme happiness with which the believer contemplates salvation. That's true joy. That's the extreme. It's when we get over there and we begin to contemplate. That means we begin to, in our minds, say, you know, I can claim this. I can have this because the Word of God says, and before you begin to realize it, you will find that you have turned upside down. Instead of being sad and defeated, all of a sudden there is a strength that begins to arise in you where you can begin to say, no, I don't accept that in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you in a minute about joy, how important it is. It has the same kind of power as loving your brother and your sister. It comes right up there in that commandment, Pastor. That's how powerful joy is. It is a force. Somebody say, it is a force. Tell somebody, I'm leaving here tonight with a new piece of armor that has a force in the physical, in the mental, and all around my sphere of authority. Amen. Boy, I'd like to teach on that sometime too, because we got to get everybody activated. We got to get them out in the cars riding around saying, this belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. This belongs to the kingdom of God, and this is my portion. So get out of here, all of you poverty, all of you whatever it is. Just run them out. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still going to get to the notes here. Okay. Psalm expresses the joyous mood believers have as they encounter God. So here we go. Joy is a force. And that comes when you encounter God. But let me tell you how I've seen it work. As we step out, because I'm going to say joy stands right beside faith in pleasing God. When we manifest that joy, we are pleasing God just as if we are standing by faith. And so what begins to happen is all of a sudden we encounter God in an up-close, more personal, intimate way. And it's called the visitation of the Lord. So how many of you in here would love to have a visitation of the Lord when you sit down before Him? Well, we're going to decree and we're going to proclaim in the name of Jesus. We're going to foretell that there's going to be new encounters with God and visitations to the point that the gifts of God that have been bound up in our house will unwrap and come into manifestation. The other night while you were ministering, Pastor, the Lord said, get out a piece of paper and draw a diagram of this area and of the church, of this whole auditorium. And some of you need to do this sometime. I promise I will teach. I promise. Any minute now. And so what happened, Pastor, as you were beginning to call the people forth for healing, I looked up and there was this huge 8-foot angel standing behind you. And he had been sent from heaven with healing manifestations. And it was burning through you. I could see that anointing on you. And what does the anointing do? It breaks the yoke. And so I could see that. But also over on this side right here, I began to see water coming and it was flowing out this way. So over on this side, I began to question the Lord about it. And He says, I have several that have been called to an evangelistic encounter with me. And they're going to begin to see things happen outside of these four walls, even in the neighborhood. So somebody rejoice with me. It was over on this side and this section. Then I began to see different gifts. And what is so remarkable, one of the gifts that I saw, and I'll show you the drawing, was where you were sitting. And when you prophesied this morning, you picked up that gift and obeyed God. He unwrapped it and the word came forth. Hallelujah. Now there's gifts all around in the aisles, all around all of you. And when you come in church, it's okay, I'm doing this, huh? When you come in church, begin to say, God, let there be a gift sitting where I am and give me the courage to speak out that gift. It may be to tell someone after church, God loves you. Sometimes I know as a widow, if someone would just come up to me every now and then, and they might not even realize what they did, they said, the Lord said to come and give you a hug. And so that's a gift. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. That's more than laying on hands. That's a hugging on hands. Amen. So I'm going right here. I'm going. Okay. Are y'all all right? Okay. So anyway, it's being surrounded by God's steadfast love. You'll find that in Psalms 32:11. I won't take time to read all of these. It's also about how his steadfast love brought them to salvation. Once again, we're talking about the force of God. Okay, joy is the reward of God to the believers. Now, I'm going to go on because I can say a lot more here. But tonight, there's three functions of joy, and I want us to touch on before we leave here. The first one is when the fruit of joy is developed in the life of a believer, they will overcome their enemies, plural. And I'll clarify that in a minute. Let me read again. When the fruit of joy is developed in the life of a believer, they will overcome the enemies, their enemies. The second function we're going to talk about is the fruit of joy is the production of all things needful for abundant living. How many of you know that joy is connected to abundance? There's a lot of times the abundance is not manifesting because the joy is not manifesting. Let me say it again. A lot of times the abundance is not manifesting because the joy is not manifesting. Joy is such a force that it takes care of the past, the present, and the future. So when you are believing God for something, don't wait for it to happen to become joyous. You begin to become joyous before it ever manifests. And then I'm telling you what, there's three words that are going on in my spirit. It's shifting, sifting, and swiftly. And so as we learn how to, we've gotten so many things backwards. You're going to hear me whenever I'm up, my turn up to speak. I'm going to talk about coming in the opposite spirit. Everything that the enemy throws at you, we have the opposite spirit to come back at that enemy in our lives. So what, now listen to me, I'm going to say it again because this is very important for someone or some people sitting in this house. You've been waiting for something to happen where you can get joyous. God said begin to get as joyous over right now as if it had happened. That's why I say joy and faith work side by side. And so begin to get joyous over it now, and you will see the manifestation of it when it comes. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have extreme joy then. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought that was pretty good personally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I preach my own self happy. Hallelujah. So the third function we're going to talk about, the fruit of joy, is the breaking of the yoke of iron upon a believer's neck. Now that's in Scripture. And I found that whenever Pastor first put this out to us about joy, the first thing I did was go home and look up every scripture I could find on joy. And I found this one. I've read it a million times, but it didn't come into perspective like it does now, because this is the year of joy over our church, over our particular community. Let's look at our notes. Matthew 11:12. Do I just say that and it comes up on the screen? Is that how that works, or was I supposed to give you a PowerPoint? Okay, because I don't know how to do PowerPoints because my grandkids aren't here. Okay. Well, this is neat right here. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And that's why when you begin to get violently joyful, things are going to begin to change in your life. Because I don't know about you, if someone comes up to take my child's joy, I'm going to be right there fighting for that joy. And so I'm going to be that violent whenever I'm fighting for your joy or for your joy when we see it. Now, see, I'm an intercessor, and that's what I do. I see these things, and I stand in the gap. Murda has had a wonderful transformation happen, just in a demonstration of just standing in the gap. Hallelujah. And God was faithful. No more depression. No more depression. She's going out and bringing them in. So what we need to get in our mind, that joy is a force. Let's say it again. Joy is a force. It's not just, I hear you, Lord. I've got to do this. Father, I break off of every one of us familiarity. We will never stay familiar with the Word of God because it has depth, height, and width to it. It is deeper than any deep we've ever been. It is wider than any width will ever go. It surrounds us, and it is so powerful. And so what the whole point of that is that the violent have to take what is ours by force. That's why joy is a force. I'm going to keep repeating it until my spirit lets that go. So the familiar spirit will come. Yes, I hear you, Lord. It will come and also make you familiar with your pastor until, he's a good preacher and this and that. When that comes, repent immediately. And say, I'm coming in the opposite spirit. I have a hunger for what pastor is saying right now. And all of a sudden, you will begin to have an experience of the word that is coming from especially our head pastor and from every one of us that he invites to the holy desk. And so let's not become familiar with the word of God. Let's not become familiar with one another to the point that we cannot receive from one another. Did you know that we can become such good close friends with each other? We can't recognize all of a sudden when someone is trying to give us a word from the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, I say that we're not familiar with sickness. We're not familiar with lack. We will not become familiar with, say, that's the way it's always been. We break those generational curses because it's not going to always be from this point on. Amen. In Jesus' name. Well, that makes me joyous right there. Amen. So, of all the fruit or the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of God, joy is the most important for who? The overcomer. The power to overcome is joy's main attribute. So why does that come up with faith? Because that's the overcoming side of seeing your faith manifest. Did you hear me? That's why it comes up with faith. Joy comes up beside faith. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm already happy about them. I might not be able to see them, but I'm telling you what, in the name of Jesus, if you pray for your eyes to open, you will see. Because we have been given that spirit. We have been given spiritual insight. Amen. Is this okay, Pastor? But I want us to look at Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to look at verse 47 and 48. And this is the verse that began just to come and hit me right in my spirit when I read this. So we have it. Okay. Wow, this is so good. Okay. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Now, we always run to Deuteronomy 28. I'm blessed in the basket. I'm blessed in the store. I'm blessed with my cattle. I'm blessed with my pigs. I'm just so blessed. You know, but we don't understand that when we do not take, and listen, our time that we're living in, we have no excuse because we've had the word to understand the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when I begin to read this, my first charismatic thing was, now that's, you know, God wouldn't do that. And God says, this is not my word. I mean, are you surely you're not picking and choosing what you want to hear. Nobody in this room has ever done that, huh? Besides me. I mean, you know, ooh, that sounds a little rough. I'm going to get over here and find me something that's a little bit easier over here. You know, I go there and I said, well, I can't do that because I didn't look at that because it refers to that. Hello. So anyway, so it says that there will be an iron of yoke. Now, what happens is God has said, I've given you the opportunity to rejoice over these things. And instead, you're choosing the opposite spirit. And therefore, you have placed upon your own self, I have allowed it. Although it said he, it says, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in all nakedness and in all and want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Now that to me is showing you how important the force of joy is. I'm telling you, nobody's going to leave this house tonight without going home and remembering something that this elderly lady, I didn't say, oh, elderly lady, spoke to you. I do have the mama anointing. That's a double anointing. That's powerful. Hallelujah. That's a mama and a grandma. That's powerful. So these scriptures reveal the consequences of serving God without joy. According to verse 48, the absence of joy in believers' lives results in their serving the enemy, wanting all things, and having a yoke of iron placed upon their neck, no satisfaction. On the other hand, for those who do serve the Lord with joy and with gladness of heart, then the opposite will be true. That's that opposite spirit that I'm telling you about. They will overcome the enemy, experience fulfillment in all things, and be free of the yoke of bondage. I'm saying the yoke of bondage is leaving every one of us in the name of Jesus. Somebody better reach out and say, I have no part of bondage, and it has no part of me, in Jesus' name. Thus, there are three functions of the fruit of joy: to produce victory, to provide fulfillment, satisfaction, contentment, etc., to protect against oppression, depression, and heaviness. Now, this is very powerful because Pastor had even picked up on that tonight. He said, let's come together. Let's come against this force. Now, the way that infirmity comes in on a body, and we know this as nurses, and the way hope gets deferred, or hope when it's deferred, if I may, all of a sudden, we have given that place for that infirmity to come in on our body when we refuse to be joyous even in the midst of our trying circumstances. Now, I'm not bringing anybody under condemnation because we've all been attacked with this is going around. So please do not misunderstand me. But what I'm trying to say, I've seen people perfectly well and nothing going on. And they'll say, well, here comes fall. And I have all these allergies. So when the leaves start, well, guess what? You just put a yoke instead of saying, I praise you, God, this year that shall pass me by. And not only me, I go further. I broaden it out. It shall not come in my house. It shall not come in my church. It shall not be a part of my city, because you've given me command over the atmosphere in Jesus' name. See, the reason things happen, we're just sitting and listening. We're not sitting and doing. Now listen to me. It says what? To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I challenge you to go from here with these notes tonight, whether we get to do every one of them or not. I challenge you to go and put this into application. I hear the word of God saying, I am fixing to bring multiplication upon this house. In every area, I know that we're standing for the money, and it's going to come in. I can see it. I can see it coming in. I can see at least three major people are going to show up in this congregation that has come, been sent by God himself to meet the needs. Somebody better grab a hold of that with me. If you believe it, let's claim it in Jesus' name. People that don't have people to give their money to as an inheritance, I claim it for the church internationally in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to keep going, sort of. So thus, there are three functions of the fruit. Oh, I do have to say this. Tonight, all boredom, discontentment, dissatisfaction is leaving every one of us because it's an open door for depression. I'm going to be satisfied no matter what is or is not happening. I am not going to be bored. So anybody that's got the ADD, EFG, XYZ, I bind it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to be dissatisfied in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that sounds pretty funny, but I know a lot of people that are running to and fro and they cannot find their peace because they're so dissatisfied, and that's because they have no joy. Amen? Okay, are everybody okay? Y'all with me? I can't see with my glasses off. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. So let's go down to the first point. When the fruit of joy is developed in the life of a believer, he will overcome the enemy. And I put a little thing saying, it is a process. Somebody say, therefore, I am not under condemnation because I'm going after the spirit and not the flesh. In Jesus' name. Now, over here on the side, and I had mentioned these to Pastor one day when he and I were sharing together. When I say enemies, we have more than one enemy. We have five of them. And I listed them down, and I've taught whole seminars on these, but I listed them where you could think and pray about them. One is the enemy, Satan. We all are very aware of him as an enemy. But the biggest one that I contend with is flesh. Okay? It's an enemy. And it's an enmity, it says, to the Holy Spirit. The other one is wrong relationships. I ain't got time to go into that, but somebody tell me if you're not being built up and you're not being edified, and when you leave that person's presence and you're down about it, then you let a big red flag go up and you say, Father, I break that soul tie right now in the name of Jesus, where we don't get vexated by that. And I haven't got time to go into that. Okay. The world, I put the word, but it was the world. I left the L out, so somebody correct it. And the last one is death. Death doesn't mean the death that is counted to every person to die, you know, if we don't go up in the rapture. I'm talking about death of marriage. I'm talking about death of finances. I'm talking about death of vision. All of those things is an enemy to ours. It will come and try to tell you that you don't have a future. I just need to say something to you. The Lord is fixing to visit you with a new level of joy because depression has tried to take you out and bring you into total hopelessness. Your hope has been deferred, and therefore tonight we proclaim that hope back on you. Your body shall never have cancer. It shall never have those things that would try to come. I break the lies right now in the name of Jesus. Sister, you will not ever, ever die until the Lord says it's time. So there's joy fixing to return upon you. I even speak to the alignment of the chemistries in your body right now in Jesus' name. And I say align, align in Jesus' name in the proper way. Right now, there is a cloak of shroud that is coming off of you, and it shall not come back on you again. Don't you allow that thing to be entertained in your mind, because there's fixing to be a joy arise in you that is going to set others that have suffered with depression and dissatisfaction and loneliness and all of those things, self-rejection. You will have authority over those things from now on in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Almighty God. Pastor, that's okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we are in a house that the gifts are allowed to manifest? Aren't you? I mean, isn't that, Father, we just thank you for that freedom in this house. We thank you for our pastor and our leadership that allows us. Father, we thank you that we can speak those things out for all to discern, Almighty God, and to come into agreement with in Jesus' name. Are y'all okay? All right, here we go. Now, when the fruit of joy is developed in the life of a believer, he will overcome the enemy, and we talked about enemies. Note, 2 Peter 19, whatever overcomes a person becomes his master. Oh, that is so cool. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. And I'm telling you right now, anything that has come up beside us and brought us into captivity is turning us loose right now in the name of Jesus. I break every soul tie in the name of the Lord Jesus that is trying to bring us down and make us feel false responsibility for things that does not belong to us. For the yoke of the Lord is easy, is that in it? His burden is light. And I proclaim in the name of Jesus that those even situations that are trying to come upon us in the name of Jesus is being bound from us right now. Hallelujah. There's a mighty thing going on in this house, and some of you aren't going to feel it until all of a sudden, bam, it hits you right in your spirit, and then you'll have a recall of it, and you'll have a manifestation. Amen. Amen. So while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage, back on the slave block before salvation. Now, I won't go into that because the four words for redemption came out of that, and the slave block was the most horrible place that you could ever be brought to. And it was something that we've all read and studied in our history books. But let me tell you something. The enemy tries to put us back on that slave block again in the spirit. And here's how he does it. Look, I can see you don't believe nothing. You know, he's making jest of you. It's like they would come up to them and say, let me see if your toes are straight or if your hands are straight, etc. Well, when you get in that place that things begin to overcome you and your faith and your joy aren't in alignment, what begins to happen to you, you're not a laughing stock. Well, eventually everybody around you can see it. They just won't say anything. But you're a laughing stock in the spirit. Because it is not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so what we have to do is we have to raise up and say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I will not accept being caught on this slave block in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I wanted to talk about trial, because this is where your joy gets tested, is in the middle of a trial. A trial is an attempt by the enemy to steal something of value from a believer. Something of value from a believer. Whether it is finances, health, loved ones, or any other good thing God desires for his children to have and enjoy. Note, there is nothing the enemy can steal, however, that is not abundantly provided for us for in salvation. See, we don't know, really understand about our, this is what I love about this church. You have not let us forget our apologetics. You're constantly reminding us, because that's that foundation, that's that chief cornerstone being the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apologetics are necessary that we constantly know, and that is your foundations. And so a trial, okay, note. The condition for receiving the benefits of this salvation is the attitude of joy. Joy is the bucket that enables a person to scoop down into the wells of salvation and draw out whatever is lacking in his life. I didn't know how to explain it any more than that. Because the Bible says it's a wells of salvation. So all I could remember is when I was a little girl going to the well, we had a bucket. And we thought it was a toy, all of us kids, you know. And we'd put stuff in the bucket and put it in the water. And of course, we'd get in trouble for putting stuff in the bucket. Anyway, and we would draw the water out. you know. Well, that's what I thought of when I was trying to explain this. Joy is the bucket that enables a person to scoop down in the wells of salvation and draw out whatever is lacking in his life. I'm going to read it one more time because somebody should have been happy about that. Joy is the bucket that enables a person to scoop down into the wells of salvation and draw out whatever is lacking in his life. Now, the well of salvation or wells of salvation contains such thing as healing, financial prosperity, safety, preservation, and soundness of body and mind. Those are what is in the well of salvation. Listen to me. It is just that easy as saying it with your mouth. It's easier to say things with our mouth than it is to entertain with our mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's actually easier to say it. Okay, I'm taking my bucket and I need some extra finances this month. Now, I want to say to both of you that when I walked up here, I started seeing some gold coins over the top of your head. And God said he's fixing to do something miraculous in the financial area. Because you have been frugal and you have been disciplined. You have been at that place where you're saying, okay, we're going to pull this in or pull that back. But I don't know what this means other than you're fixing to reap a harvest in the financial area, okay? So praise God. Write this night down and you're going to see the time limit, the time zone on it. Amen? Okay. Can I go on for a few more minutes, Pastor? Okay. The condition, let's see. Okay. A trial is an attempt of the enemy, let's go back there, to steal something of value from a believer, whether it is finances, health, loved ones, or any other good thing God desires for children to have and enjoy. Note, there is nothing the enemy can steal, however, that is not abundantly provided in salvation. Okay, we talked about that. The condition for receiving the benefits of this salvation is the attitude of joy. Attitude. The world has an attitude. And see, I'm 68. I mean, I'm like up there, down, or whatever that age is, okay? And I'm learning all these new words from my grandkids. And you see these fingernails? This is my granddaughter. She said, you got to get with it, Mom. Mama, you got to have some swag about you or whatever that, something like swag or swaggered or something. You know, somebody understands that on this side. I mean, am I saying it right? You know, said, Eve, you got to have attitude. You got to like swag it out, Mama. You got to like put the fingernails on, put some, you know, some mascara on and just kind of just a certain attitude. Well, I tell you what, it looks like I'm making jest, but there is an attitude that we need in the spirit. Yeah. That says, I am complete. I am lacking nothing. Let all the demons in hell look at me and they won't see me anyway. They will see the very presence of God in my life because I've got the attitude of joy. You're the one that's defeated. I'm not defeated. So watch my stuff. See. Hallelujah. Somebody let's get our spiritual swag on. Is that how you say it? Let's get it on. I mean, let's get it on. High five. Is that still in? Okay. Hallelujah. My dog even does that. High five. Like that. So, hallelujah. See, church isn't boring. I'm certainly not boring. I may never be asked to come here again, so I'm taking advantage of this, honey. Hallelujah. If anybody in here religious, Pastor, you're on your own, honey. I'm telling you, you're on your own. So during the time of trials, we believers can access the degree to which we are in bondage to the enemy by measuring the extent to which our trials overcome us. And I thought this is real neat. I just wrote as a test. Don't y'all like tests? You're lying if you say you do. Like, no, nobody likes tests. I can remember that. Listen, I made Honor Society. In the next 6 weeks, I was on probation because of M-A-T-H. I don't even like to say it. Yes, hallelujah. And I kept bringing it up, though. Example, how do we respond when I must suffer through an extended illness? I'm talking about how we can begin to test the measure of joy, the level of joy that we have in us. How do I react when the enemy stirs up my family or friends persistently to harass and persecute me? How do I bear up under lengthy trials as opposed to brief ones? How am I honestly conducting myself in the midst of the trials which I'm experiencing right now? See, this is his little checklist, okay? Where it's going to show you if I started to get by everybody a thermometer to have it, because I love prophetic acts and things before us, because we see, you know, that we receive a lot of times that way. So, example, on the other hand, if a believer goes through a trial and others are unable to detect it, then despite his suffering, he is not in real bondage to the enemy because he has not allowed the trial to defeat him. Now, Wendy, may I give your testimony real quick about the other night? I am amazed at this woman of God, where she has come from and where she is heading. And she will make it because she's hungry and she wants more. Well, the other night she asked me out and we went to see a movie. Elvis was there. Yes. Elvis was there. Yeah. Over at the Legends. She liked Michael Jackson. I was into Elvis. So that doesn't show what time zones we're in. It was just like there. You know, not that I look older than her or anything. But anyway, she had to, wow, hey, Tina Turner was there, but you can't go see that part. Okay, all right. Yes, and he did the whatever thing, you know. Wendy was the most beautiful example of this force of joy. In the business that she is in, they can do a lot of sabotaging and take what you have earned, okay? She happened to run in, like she told me, she says, I've been protected for, 2 years or 3 years? I've never run across this particular couple. And the other night, on our way out, there was the couple. She saw them face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Let me tell you what this young woman of God, now she's not a young woman of God, she's more mature than a lot of us that's been in the church. The footmen are going to overtake the chariot, see. She got to laughing. She was full of joy. I did it. And I said, what did you do? You know, and so she got to telling me, because I thought, Lord, first of all, she went to the wrong car. But that I thought, oh, my gosh, somebody's done turned her in, you know. But she was so full of joy for the victory that when she faced these people, there was no animosity. There was no unforgiveness. There was no root of bitterness. And so I say, salute. I mean, isn't that beautiful? That's the force of joy. That's the force of joy when you can look, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood anyway, but against powers and principalities and wickedness and rulers in high places. Well, she faced that thing head on. Now, we even went a step further, didn't we? We said, now, God, we're coming in the opposite spirit. We're asking, we're thanking you for forgiving them, and we're asking you to set them free. Where they can do that to no one else. But more than that, we're claiming their salvation. We're claiming their souls. We're claiming, Father, that you that have authority over angels, that you send your angels to gather them to you. Now, that's fun. I mean, that's purity fun when you can do that. She was laughing so loud, and she was apologizing to me. Well, I got sent to one restaurant because I talked too loud. I said, well, then I'd have been right behind you, honey. You know, that's all right. You know, but I wanted to brag in the grace of God that she's allowing to manifest in her life. Okay, let's go on. Okay, on the other hand, I told you that. So that means your strength stays intact. Then the use of the force of joy has been activated against bondage during a trial or a testing time. We actually can truly say, I count it all joy when diverse situations come my way. Somebody say, I count it all joy. When diverse temptations comes my way. Now, some of you are going to have to really believe that, okay? And act on it. I watched this young lady. I've been walking with the Lord for years. And I've watched her come in, gloriously gotten delivered and saved. and delivered and re-delivered and saved. And till this morning, she's going out, and I had to go clear out there to pick up somebody else. But we're believing the whole house is going to come next time. We'll just come borrow the church van. Amen? So that's what joy does. Okay, the second thing. The second function of the fruit of joy is the production of all things needful for abundant living. Note, those who cultivate and develop joy in their lives will experience fulfillment in all things. That's in James 1, 2 through 4. Read it. We won't read it tonight. I'm going to rush on through this. The Greek word translated patience, and I thought this was so good when I chained this out, in verse 3 and 4. Actually, go ahead and put it up. That's James 1, 2 through 4, where we can see the difference. So the Greek word translated patience actually means endurance. Somebody say, I have endurance. So James could read as follows. I just kind of rewrote it when I said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh endurance. But let endurance have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting, lacking nothing. According to Nehemiah 8:10, the source of endurance is joy. For it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, or your endurance. So note, we believers are going to endure our trials as long as we are joyful, for the strength to endure simply is not present without joy. It's a choice. Somebody say, I choose. Joy. Amen. There are three promises contained in verse 4 for the believers who do endure their trials with joy. They will be perfect, they will be entire, and they won't lack nothing. Amen. So note, wanting nothing is the direct opposite of being in want of all things, as noted in Deuteronomy 28:48. That's what we started off with. We Christians can actually reach a place in our lives where we can honestly and continually say with David in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will resist and overcome the enemy so much that we will have this testimony: I am in need of nothing, for God is faithful. And that's what Pastor talked on this morning. Wasn't that powerful? That in our faithlessness, God is faithful. No matter if we weren't rising to the occasion. I mean, that was awesome. I went home and thought on that this afternoon. I do not lack any good thing. The prophet Isaiah promises in Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of what? The wells of salvation. Note, salvation means safety, soundness, deliverance, preservation, and health. It covers every aspect of life, not just the spiritual aspect. Note, so if the enemy manages to steal a believer's joy, then he has effectively stolen that person's access to the benefits of salvation. Did you hear that? So if the enemy manages to steal a believer's joy, then he has effectively stolen that person's access to the benefits of salvation. That goes for those other enemies that I talked about: your flesh, wrong relationships, the world, and death. Those things are all enemies against this force, because joy is a force. Let's go to page 3, and I'm going to start winding this up. Have y'all been okay with this? Amen. God is good. The third function of the fruit of joy is the breaking of the yoke of iron upon a believer's neck. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That means you are growing. That means you are a threat. And so, therefore, that's how you can count these divers temptations joy. Because you know then, if things are coming at you and they seem like nothing is going right, what I've learned to do is I've learned to say, I am in a growing time. I'm in a time of growth. I'm going from glory to glory, and that two thing is right there where you're growing. That's when you've had all this glorious time, and that's so easy to be in the God's glory. But it's when you get in that two sometimes is where all of the temptations come, all of those things, that little bitty word two is that place where you're going to encounter those trials and those tribulations. But here's what you do when that comes. Oh, but I see the glory that's going to come from that. See, she saw the glory. She saw the glory before it ever happened. She went through that 2 or 3 years of the two. And then when it happened, there was the glory. She left there rejoicing. Now, if that isn't bringing the enemy down, I don't know what isn't. Hallelujah. See, we're all waiting for somebody to get a new hand, to get this and that, and then we'll believe in miracles. Let me tell you something. If you get born again, that's the biggest miracle that we've ever seen manifest. And when you see someone get delivered from things that's been bondage to them and brought them down. I was weeping on the way to church, going home from church today. Once again, Wendy, may I use you? She says, since I've been delivered and set free, there was, 26, 28 years of my life that was blank. She says, I can't tell you how much joy it is just to have an ice cream cone. Yeah. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I never got to enjoy that. I'm going to declare and decree on every one of us. There's fixing to be a level of joy because you're fixing to experience things that the enemy stole from you. Even as a child and even as an adult, you're fixing to experience the joy of it because we're going to declare and we're going to decree that those things that were missing during that time will begin to manifest and our joy will be made full in the name of Jesus. Somebody better say hallelujah, because some of us has been feeling like there's a void, and I'm going to tell you what, from this night on, there will not be a void. Dissatisfaction has left our presence in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, is that enough spiritual swagger going on, kids? I mean, you know, hey, okay, we got that. We got it. We got it. Boy, I got the step. Now, the sisters, when I'm a bishop of 5 Afro-American churches in Texas, which they all get together, and I'll be going. Well, one of them come up to me, one of the ladies, one of the intercessors, and she said, sister, you better check your tree. I said, my tree? I said, oh, yeah. Said, you got too much rhythm and you got junk in your trunk. So when I swagger, I'm going to do it like backwards. I mean, like, you know, let everything come from the front. Hey, got that. Got it. Hallelujah. See, they're in agreement with me. See, I'm speaking sort of kind of their language. Okay, we're going to finish up. I promise. So the third function, the iron's coming off. Count it all joy. Note, extremely important, count it all joy is just as much. Now, this is what I want you to listen to. This is just as much a commandment as love thy neighbor. Okay? This is why Pastor got that for us this year. It is as much a sin not to count it all joy during a trial as it is to hate thy brother or sister in Christ. Did you hear me? That gets to be serious. So joy is such a gift. It's such a yoke breaker. The means to praise God and be joyful throughout the trial from the beginning to the end. This means to praise God no matter what. Note, in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is, death or life. We heard one of our ministers talk about that, our guest ministers. And as soon, or one of our ministers, in due season, as soon as joy withers from the tongue, now you hearing this? It also begins to wither from the heart. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit gave me that morning. This was something that was in my journal after Pastor told us about joy this year. As soon as joy withers from the tongue, it begins to wither from the heart. That's big, huh, Pastor? That's big. That preaches, doesn't it? Joy not based on feelings or circumstances. Joy is bestowed by God and resides in one's spirit. Psalms 105:37 refers to God bringing Israel out of bondage in the land of Egypt. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the tribe. I did a teaching on this one time, so I wrote this down for us. Hebrew word translated feeble is a root word meaning to falter, stumble, faint, or fall. Joy is a force. We will not stumble. We will not falter, And we will not faint or fall in the things that this church has been assigned to. I don't care what seats are empty. I don't care what seats are full. All I know is God has an assignment for this house, and it shall come to fruition. Because he said if there is just one or two that says and believes in their heart and prays in his name, it's going to happen. So I want to tell everybody something. Get it back on your tongue that we are not losing people. We are gaining a new strength because we're going to call in the ones to replace that. We're calling in the troops in the name of Jesus. If we'll just begin to say troops come forth and manifest itself, but I can tell you this right now, I don't want you to think, get spooky on me, but I can see angels sitting in every one of these chairs, so this house is not empty. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to say it again. This house is not empty. And I'll not receive that lie that the enemy has been trying to pass around. I'm going to say something else too. We're not going to be anemic in here because there's been a wound that bleeded out. We are not anemic. We are whole. We have all the blood we need. And it's called the blood of the Lamb. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are not weak and we are not withering. Instead, we are becoming stronger. Matter of fact, we're going to become so strong that we can give transfusions in the Spirit. Hello, come on, let me say it again. Somebody better get a hold because it's a prophetic wave coming through right now. And when the spirit of prophecy is in the house, that means Jesus is in the house. And so we're no longer going to need transfusions. Come on, somebody. Instead, we're going to be able to be a transfusion in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to the whole congregation. I'm speaking to those that aren't here. I say in the name of Jesus, there is a wound. It bled out. I say the transfusion is coming because we forgive and we release and we do not retain, but we call it back to wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now, you got to learn how to prophesy. Amen. Prophesy is to foretell. You need to, and a fourth tell. And I mean, go back and foretell some things. You think you stole? Well, I'm going to foretell. You have to give back 100-fold in Jesus' name. Woo! Almost started preaching there. Almost got there. Almost got there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you what, Pastor, there is a trumpet that's going to blow over this church. And it's the long silver trumpets that hearkens in the angelic host. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that thing that has come to try to discourage you, my precious man of God, my pastor, I salute you. God said you will begin to see. You will begin to see prosperity from every angle, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And God said, even as you're preaching, you will not see who is not here, but you'll see who is here. But more than that, he said, I'm going to let you start seeing faces that's going to come here. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody get happy with me. I don't care if we've been sitting for a while. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost shows up and he begins to foretell and forthtell, we better respect that because that is a breaker anointing. That is coming into the house and taking the atmosphere and turning it around because it was heavy when I first came in here tonight. I was praying for you, Brother Donnie, because I've led praise and worship. I know what it's like. But it broke when Pastor got up, our pastor, the head of the church, when he got up and broke it, then we can walk into that in Jesus' name. Get ready for the spirit of prophecy to begin to manifest because that gift is welcomed in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Words of knowledge and wisdom. Father, we welcome him to the house. We speak out loud for all to discern. And our pastors love us enough that they would call us and say, we need to talk to you about this, not as a rebuke or rebuttal, but encourage us. They'd rather see us stepping out in faith than to not step out in faith at all, see. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about things. I don't even know why I'm going here, but I'm going. We don't have to worry about things getting out of control. We're safe in this house. Amen. There's safety in this house. I'm going to finish now. I promise. Now for my fifth and final time here. I always heard preachers say that. My fifth closing, you know. So a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, I need to say that again, spoken in due season, how good it is. How good is it? As soon as joy withers from the tongue, it begins to wither from the heart. You know, we all should put that on a piece of board or something and hang that in our house, you know, to remind us. Joy is not based on feelings or circumstance. Joy is bestowed by God. I said all of that. The Hebrew word translated feeble is the root word to falter, stumble, faint, and fall. Note, the source of these people's strength is revealed in Psalms 105:43, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. I don't know about you, but I'm chosen of God. Amen. God knew exactly what it would take to give the people strength to overcome the effect of their adverse circumstances. It took joy. Now I'm going to conclude. Trials of adverse circumstances are going to increase. We've heard Pastor talk to us about that. In this world, for us as believers, as we see the day approaching. But Hebrews 10:25, we have the potential within our spirits not to be shaken by these approaching storms. We believers need the fruit of joy in order to break the bondage of heaviness and to overcome the trials of life. Then we will have a sharp eye to see, a clear mind to understand, and the signs of times, as well as an open ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church in the last of the last days. Paul told Timothy that. Be glad you're not going to live in the last days. When you study it, it says the last of the last days, okay? So as we perceive and take heed, we will be found ready at the coming of the Lord Jesus and will be delivered out of the land of Egypt. Like Israel, we too also will be brought forth with joy. Psalms 105:43. Joy is a force. Did you enjoy this? Amen. 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 Father, we thank you that tonight that familiar spirit has left us. We're no longer just taking for granted the things that come from the holy desk. But Father, I thank you that this week or until we come again, that Father, we will be able to stand on these words. And we will be able to say, Father, without a doubt or unbelief in our heart, that we rejoice when divers temptations comes our way, because it gives us the opportunity to use joy as a force against the enemy. So we give you glory and honor, Father. I only pray that I have spoken things in enough clarity for those that are here to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name, Pastor.